Well, the barrister Stephen Barrett has an excellent piece in The Spectator this week dealing with this very topic, and I'm delighted to be joined by Stephen himself now. So let's just firstly speak on this latest case in a series of long cases. What was the Good Law Project trying to do?
So effectively, they wanted to stop ministers from using WhatsApp. And there was a complaint that a prime minister had also used a private email address to email back and forth copies of a speech that they wanted to give. What we might think of as perfectly normal use of the internet. And the idea was to get the court to say that that was somehow scandalous and wrong.
It does seem that the Good Law Project tries to go for the sort of media headline, government has broken law in one way or another, when often this is very technical and perhaps not that consequential.
Yes. Well, at a point, it's quite funny. So 20 years ago, we sort of banned Latin in law. And you can see why we do that. There are all sorts of, you know, we ought to be accessible and the rest of it. But one of the fundamental principles we had was de minimis non curat lex. And that basically just meant that small things are not the concern of the law. You know, little technical breaches of rules, we don't care. That's effectively what de minimis non curat lex means. It's just, it's bringing in a level of proportionality to law. And it seems that with throwing out Latin, we've sort of thrown the baby out with the bathwater. And society, the public, the non-lawyers, are being told that all sorts of rule breaches are phenomenally important and desperately exciting. And that's not true. And the pushback is starting. But it matters that people pay attention because, of course, this case, and this is a point I make in the article, merely by announcing that you're suing the government, you get an awful lot of attention. And nobody waits, really, until this point, the end point, when actually they lose. Everybody gets terribly excited at the start. They assume that they're only suing the government because they're going to win, and a lot of drama is given to them. We all have a duty in our society to sort of calm down, let the court do its job, and wait until this point to see whether or not we get excited or not excited. You know,
so
we are moving towards...
Briefly, if you will, Stephen Barrett, how did they lose? Why did the judges throw out this case?
Well, so for a start, their arguments were quite eccentric. I mean, there is a duty on the government to preserve some records for the future so that the future historians can understand what was going on. But you don't have to preserve everything. And it's for, you know, professionals to make the decision on what has to be preserved. As a minister walks around in a day, they might ask for a coffee to a minor aide. That's not going to be recorded. It doesn't need to go in the National Archives. So first of all, there was an attempt to blow up that rule that just protects future archives into something that it isn't. And then there was an attempt to argue that, oh, well, there are policies and guidance, and policies and guidance must be binding as law. And this is a very, very bad way to make law. It's a really, really bad idea, because instead of laws being made in Parliament and us all knowing what they are, they're made sort of in secret by a civil servant. And the court, thankfully, said no.
Well, let's hope that this happens more often, because it does seem that sort of activists are taking more and more to use the law to sort of make political points when it really should be something very different. I'm afraid we've run to the end of the programme now, but Stephen Barrett, always fascinating to hear your arguments, and I do recommend for people to seek out that article in The Spectator this week.